Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, and its host and founder and star is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick the program off now with Carol Marks in conversation with Dr. Michael Finkelstein. Dr. Andrew Weil calls him a visionary practitioner. He is an integrative medicine pioneer, and he's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled 77 Questions for Skillful Living, A New Path to Extraordinary Health, published by William Morrow.
Now, you say that our quality of life comes from all the skillful questions that we ask ourselves, and you go on to explain that these questions fall into four categories. What are they?
Well, you know, it has to do with relationships, quite honestly. So the first one is our relationship to ourselves. In other words, how do we handle, you know, the thoughts within our own mind and how we evaluate, judge ourselves? Of course, that's a reflection of what we've been taught, but also the repeated messages we give ourselves. And sometimes we're stuck in a bad place when we think about it that way. The other is our relationship to other people, of course. And that's very meaningful in our lives. I've been around people as a physician who are in the end stages of their life, and they look back at their life and they realize what was most valuable wasn't their job and the money and the things that they accumulated, but was the quality of their relationships. And I think that that ultimately is the best barometer for our health. And then the third principle really is a relationship to the world around us, meaning the natural world, the rhythms and cycles of nature, but also the health of that world. And of course we know that there's lots of question there. And then the fourth principle is sort of a relationship with something that goes beyond it all. In other words, our esoteric understanding and where we fit into the greater complex of the universe, and some might call it a divine principle, but I just ask that question, what's the meaning of life? Why are we here? Why do we have our challenges? And there's a relationship we have with those questions that as we develop a better understanding of what the true definition of health is, we can actually achieve the physical well-being and the mental, emotional well-being we want by putting it into such a context.
I really found it so enlightening when you talked about the conversation, the questions that involve, really, when we go to the doctor about a particular health problem. And we ask the doctor a lot of questions, and he gives answers, but he doesn't really ask us anything. And I think, as you point out in the book, that the relationship really misses a lot.
Yes, it does. I mean, you know, that's what I sort of was implying by that phrase, cultural West, that I used. We, you know, we grow up in this very developed, we call it, world, where there's a lot of expertise, a lot of technology, a lot of things that solve problems for us. And so we walk into an expert's office and we say, here's our problem, what's the solution? And without it being reframed and put into a context which really includes all the details that were related to that problem, we're asking a very narrow niche question, and therefore we're getting a narrow niche answer. And so if we don't ask broader questions, then of course we're only going to get limited answers. And physicians are not trained to do anything other than what they do, and nor are accountants, nor are painters and plumbers. And so we can't ask a carpenter to repair our car. So our physicians can't really put our lives back together. They can fix our physical health sometimes, but not our lives. And the question for me is, how are you living? Are you living skillfully? Because that's really how you're feeling. And that's what people, I think, really care about.
When it comes to looking at the cause of chronic physical conditions, I was surprised to learn from reading your book that it most often comes from some sort of inflammation.
Right.
What are some of the causes of inflammation? And I was surprised to find out what they could be.
Well, you know, the obvious causes of inflammation, let's say, are infection or injury, you know, which cause, like, you twist your knee and it swells up. That's inflammation, right? But, and anything red on your skin is an inflammatory process. But, so there are physical factors. But we now know that the foods we consume, animal products, processed foods, high sugar, you know, foods are inflammatory. But we also have to realize that things around us could be inflammatory, like noise, like a jackhammer, or loud people, or obnoxious people, or traffic, watching the nighttime news and shows on TV, or listening to sort of you know, lyrics in music that are inflammatory. These are all driving our physiological systems in much the same way an infection does. And so we have to be very mindful and careful that when we think about ways of relieving this inflammatory process, which contribute to things from heart disease to cancer to Alzheimer's to arthritis and everything in between, that we realize that it's not just the food, it's not just the infecting organism, it's a lot of things in our lives. And that's a great opportunity, because if we then start focusing on how we can avoid other inflammatory things, we can live an anti-inflammatory life, which is my prescription.
And you suggest, instead of taking anti-inflammatory drugs, that we live this really good anti-inflammatory lifestyle. And you talked about just now about some of the things that we need to do that. And one of them that we really haven't talked too much about is your recommendation for connecting with the rhythm and cycles of the natural world. And how can just spending time in our backyard or taking walks help us be really healthier?
Well, here's the contrast. So at nighttime, you sit in your, you know, living room, you watch your TV, and you're watching a show like 24, you know, which is now off the air, where a guy's racing the clock to save the world. And it's really tense moments. And what do you think's going on in your system? Or at 8 p.m., you walk outside, and you sit and you watch the sun setting and listening to the birds and the crickets chirping late at night and feeling the warm breeze. Which do you think is going to soothe your system? So that's a question. That's how I do it. So I ask somebody that question. I don't have to give them the answer. They know the answer. And so the idea behind all of these things is for people to reflect on their own inner ability to make good decisions and better decisions, and then see how these dots get connected.
Great advice. And one of the things you talk about that's necessary in order for us to live a healthier life is to get rid of some of the toxins. And why is anger the most damaging emotion that we can have?
Well, I would just paraphrase that. I might have written that, I guess, if you're saying that. But there's several emotions. Anger, fear, and grief are very powerful emotions. But anger in particular, you know, what happens to somebody's face when they're enraged? It turns red, right? It's inflammatory. Blood flows someplace. We know what it feels like inside. We get very tense. We get very tight. Blood is moved away from places like our brain into our muscles, so that perhaps we can run or fly or punch somebody. But whatever it is, it's really consuming a lot of our energy. Now, anger by itself, somewhat appropriate at times, of course. We know that. But persistent anger, when we hold on to anger, we get frustrated. We get feeling, you know, fit to be tied would be the phrase. And that's a chronic state of energy consumption that will deplete us. It also interferes with our ability to have smooth and sound relationships or function well in our work environment. So it derails us from harmony.
Along with anger, you talk about, you know, the importance of forgiveness, that it's important to do that in order to remain healthy. And you mentioned something else, and that was it's important to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most of us think about that.
Well, you know, we've been hurt along the way of our lives, you know, and we can identify those people who have perpetrated, you know, sort of crimes to us. And, of course, that word crime can be anything from something simple to major. So we understand who's hurt us, and at times we can forgive those individuals, and a lot of people make an effort to do that. But the person who's really in our heads that's telling us the roles and evaluating and judging us, it's often the most critical, the harshest judge, if you will, is ourselves, our own, you know, sort of mental conversation. And often if we don't stop to reflect on that, it goes on as a tape in the background and it has effects. It sort of is the reason a lot of people have low self-esteem, where they don't feel deserving and worthy of something greater in their life, whether that's more comfort and luxury, security, fame, you know, success in work, or quality relationships like a good marriage. These are things that people sometimes, because of this tape, they're sort of maybe shooting themselves in the foot in a way, just because they're not aware. So my hope is that people bring awareness to this, and they say to themselves, you know what, I don't have to be perfect. I did this when I was young. You know, I was naive, and I have to let that go. I have to sort of move on in my life. I've learned. And the key here is to learn. And if we've learned from our mistakes, then it's not a mistake anymore. And we can move on with a feeling of confidence that I've dealt with that, and I feel pretty decent about it. It doesn't go away completely, but it makes you feel a little bit more confident that you deserve a better future.
And who doesn't make mistakes getting through life? Now, we also all want to enjoy our lives as we age. Can you give us a couple of tips for skillful aging?
Well, you know, the first thing is to embrace life wholly as much as possible, meaning today is your day. So what can you do today? And I think the primary focus is to look for beauty. Often that's in nature. Often it's in other people. Often it's in your own, you know, brilliance and kindness and your own heart that you can really appreciate. Be grateful and thankful for that opportunity. Nobody knows. Even a 20-year-old doesn't know what their last day will be, and it can be just as close as an 80-year-old. So we shouldn't make any assumptions other than we're here now and there's a lot to appreciate. I think that's embracing life. It's not about aging so much. It's really embracing living. That's why I call it skillful living. It's a verb. The act of living is important. And the more we can do that, the longer we're going to live, the healthier we're going to live. It's absolutely the case. And, of course, most of us want to do that. So it achieves that objective, but it does it without losing the focus on today, because wouldn't it be a shame if you lived to be 99 and the next 20 years were a blur because you were just focused on 99.
You are so right.
You can't do that.
Dr. Michael Finkelstein, in conversation with Carol Marx. His book is titled 77 Questions for Skillful Living, A New Path to Extraordinary Health, published by William Morrow. Carol Marx returns with more conversation when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year, illegally. Poaching is just one of the risks animals face at our hands. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor. I grew up in the beautiful rural countryside of Ohio, where animals roam freely in the open forests. I have a deep concern to help preserve those open spaces for our wildlife friends, so they can live and thrive like they used to. Destruction of their habitats threaten their very existence. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land where they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats, and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marx, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Here she is now in conversation with Paul Lipton. He's a former litigator and author of the new book titled Hour of the Wolf, an Experiment in Ageless Living, published by Mulberry Harbor Press.
And I bet you're delighted that your book has gotten such positive reviews.
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me, and absolutely I am. It seems to have really touched a chord with so many people of any age who are just being thoughtful about the journey we're on.
Now, what was your main reason for writing this memoir?
The main reason was that I was getting up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, which is known as the hour of the wolf, and trying to figure out why that was happening. And for me, it came to two things. One, I had lost both my parents when they were relatively young, my dad when he was 56, my mom when she was 52. And I had gone through a very serious health crisis myself. And I started feeling like, what's this all about? What's this journey all about? It seemed so futile to me. And finally, I came to the realization that I had to write this book about the hour of the wolf, and that it's the day itself. It's the each day holds the promise of everything we could ever want to be. And I wanted to share that thought with the reader, of saying, don't have despair. You have today, no matter what your age is. And so it's the aging along with that loss that I said we have to redefine the journey.
And I loved what you said about the day that you realize life is just made up of days connected to one another. And that's a good way to look at it. You have a lot of interesting stories in your book that illustrate, you know, the way you feel and what we do. And you met a man during a July 4th celebration. He just turned 70. He was also waking up in the middle of the night. How did your conversation with him help you realize that you wanted to find out what stops us as we age from living as fully as we did in our youth? Because he seemed to be at a very difficult point in his life.
Yes, and it was a fascinating moment. He was very candid, considering we had just met at this July 4th party. As I write about an hour of the wolf, we were at the, you know, chip and dip table, so to speak. And he commented that he was waking up really filled with anxiety, and that they were in town because his wife was getting a second opinion about an illness she had, and that she would just be up all night staring. And I realized that this is a universal journey we're on, that we're all seeking the meaning of it all, and it riveted home for me that it is still the day. We have the promise of today, and I see too many people, especially as they get older, say, well, I'm old, I'm older, I can't do certain things, and they start restricting themselves from the promise that the day holds. And I'm asking people to join this conversation of appreciating the day, finding the meaning in that one day, because that's all we're promised anyway.
And the man that you talked to, he felt that he was no longer relevant, and I think that that's what happens a lot to people as they get older, and it's such a shame because we certainly are relevant as we get older, and it's just really how we look at aging and what we're doing.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, and that's a critical part. I write about the fact that in our society, people, after they get to a certain age, they're either made to feel or they feel themselves that they're not as relevant in the mix of the day, you know, going to some job or things like that. But I'm asking people to reject that, and society has to reevaluate this. We have value at any age. We still have a story to tell, and that story has to be told until you can't talk anymore. And I get frustrated by that relevance. I've never felt more relevant than I do today. You know, the wisdom of the years has value. And we're the historians in the family. We're the historians of society. And that has a purpose and a value.
And I love the fact that you wrote about things that made you realize that things are ageless. And so are we, and I'm talking about the fact that when you went to Colorado and you were in a national park and the ranger asked you if you wanted a senior discount, and you realized that, my goodness, what you had been doing, and what you had been doing had made you realize that all the things you were looking at were ageless.
Yeah, exactly right. It's so funny. The great thing about nature is that nature is timeless and ageless. You look at the mountain, and you don't say, oh, that's an old mountain. You just look at a mountain and say, isn't that grand? Isn't that magnificent? And I want to look at ourselves, myself, and have the reader look at themselves the same way, saying, you know, I am the mountain. I'm ageless, and I'm as grand as I was before. I may have a wrinkle here or there, but that's just part of the journey, and it should be embraced.
Now, you have said that the key to embracing the wolf and living fully is to realize that there is still time when we can break our old habits and make better decisions. And you named five key areas. Can you briefly tell us what they are?
Yes, absolutely. The five decisions that I talk about are, number one, health. And I see too many people giving up on their health. Either they say they're too busy or they're too old to take a long walk or they're afraid of risking and getting injured. But health is critical, and you must find time for yourself, even if it's just getting up a little earlier each day and stretching and walking. You must find time. The second is family and friends. You have to commit to be with your family and friends, and when you're with them, be there 100%. I write in Hour of the Wolf about being 100% present in your life. you must be there with them. If that means coming home from work a little early to have dinner with the family and the kids and tuck them in and then go back to work or go to the office in the house, fine. But make that commitment. The third is the spirit world. Whether it's religion or nature, whatever you define it, connect to something larger than the gossip of the day, 24/7 news cycle. There's a larger story to be told. The fourth is learning. There's a passion in learning something new, whether it's at work or at play, but find something new to get your interests going and the juices flowing. And the last one, which is so interesting because it's gotten the most play and most discussion, is fun. You know, there's a child inside all of us, and that child is still there, alive and well, and it wants to have some fun. Find some fun in the day. This is your journey. This is your story.
And there are all these choices that we can make as we go through life, and that's what it's all about, making good choices. And finally, Paul, I want to ask you about your blog, The Ageless Experiment, Letters to My Kids and Other Sermons for the Ageless. Why did you begin your blog, and how can our listeners learn more about it?
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I started writing the blog, The Ageless Experiment, because it just seemed to me that I was falling into this routine of I'm getting older, it's another birthday, I can't do the things I wanted to do. And I wanted to seize on that and say, let's start a new conversation. The conversation is, we're ageless. We're timeless. We're the mountain. Be part of the mountain. If you go on theagelessexperiment.com, you can read my writings and the comments by other people. And also, you can also link into Hour of the Wolf.
That's Paul Lipton in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Hour of the Wolf, An Experiment in Ageless Living, published by Mulberry Harbor Press. If you want more information, go to theagelessexperiment.com. That's theagelessexperiment.com. We're going to take a peek behind the scenes and talk radio with Kevin Casey. That's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to that point in our hour where we're joined by our senior correspondent, who also has a job that takes up a lot of his time. He is the vice president and executive editor of Talkers, Talkers Magazine, the trade publication in the talk radio business. His name is Kevin Casey. And Kevin, where does Labor Day weekend fit in the pantheon of holidays that come across the talk radio calendar? Is it a news holiday? Is it a real holiday? What do people in the business do on Labor Day weekend?
Well, I think they pretty much relax and gear up for it. It's more of a bench, less of a holiday and more of a benchmark. It's that point in the news talk radio calendar where everyone says, okay, summer's over, school's starting, and in an election year, it's like now the election really kicks into high gear. So it's sort of a back to the normal schedule thing that radio shows, especially news talk radio stations, rely on to get their audience back on a regular schedule and hopefully listening the way they would like them to.
It's almost like Labor Day weekend is really New Year's. That the new year begins September. And that's why people are always off balance during what we call the holidays, which is kind of ironic because I want to segue into another point here. But, you know, the holidays come at a time when there's a new year, but it doesn't feel like it's a new year because it's just a break in the middle of the heat, even though it's cold, of the old year.
Yeah.
And I also have a theory as to why New Year's resolutions never work.
Is because, oh, really?
Well, people start them on the second day of the year, not the first. Have you ever known anybody who started their New Year's resolution on January 1st when it's still, you're milking that last day of your holiday? You're going to go on your diet the second day. But then when the second day comes, you said, I blew it. I should have started yesterday.
Next year. That's a good point. Unless their goal was to quit drinking and they're so hungover on the 1st of January that they can't possibly, you know, put down a drink.
Yeah, you're right. The drinking,
that drinking aspect
is a little bit. But that's probably it.
You're right.
You know, it's kind of funny. But here's the other thing about Labor Day weekend, which is, of course, we're being heard on Labor Day weekend. Some people hear us Saturday, some Sunday, and of course, we might even be heard on Labor Day in some places. But the fact of the matter is that Labor Day, it's the beginning of the Christmas holiday, that our commercial society is so revved up to go to the next thing. And this all started with the catalogs being mailed, which had next season stuff in them. So the stores had to start decorating Christmas in September.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, Labor Day is the beginning of the holiday season in America. It kind of creeps into your consciousness. All of a sudden, you're watching TV and you see a car commercial that has a little Christmas music behind it. Or you go to the places that start with the Christmas stuff are those big drugstores that have replaced the local pharmacy.
Yep.
Like the CVS's and the Duane Reade's in New York and the big. They start having Christmas stuff up. They'll have Christmas trees and the fake ones and all that in September. So I find Labor Day is that stark juxtaposition between the summer and the winter. It's like, boom, you're now in Christmas.
I think you're right, and I think what we should do is we should start a movement to see if we can make Labor Day the first of the year.
Let's do that.
And that should be the beginning of the year.
Let's devote our lives to something really meaningless like that.
But it's funny that from a business perspective, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It sure is. And, you know, everyone takes their vacations in August, or many people do. Mm-hmm. So that's like it's the end. You're taking your vacation at the end. Now you're going to gear up for the new year of September.
Right. And let's start with the holiday. So let's not make any decisions till after the holidays.
Yeah.
Have you noticed all summer people were saying to you, well, let's get to that after Labor Day.
Right.
We're at a time now where people are constantly looking for a reason not to make a decision.
Yeah.
And then put it after the holiday. And then the holiday is ended. Like, what do you do next? Valentine's Day? You're doomed. You've got to do something. Make a decision. Well, I'm going to make a decision to let you run. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Casey is the executive vice president of Talkers Magazine, trade publication in the talk radio business. He's also a senior correspondent on our program. And if you want to know what's going on behind the scenes in talk radio, go on over to talkers.com. Kevin Casey, thank you very much. I'm Michael Harrison, and A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here now for the rest of the way is our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. And he is in conversation with Gordy Gronkowski. The name sound a little familiar? He's the father of NFL New England's Patriots tight end, Rob Gronkowski. And he's going to talk about his new book titled, Growing Up Gronk, A Family Story of Raising Champions, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt.
First of all, tell us a little bit about your son, Rob, right now. He had had another back surgery in the off season. How's he looking now?
Rob is, right now, he's in the best spirits ever, and he's got a great attitude right now. He's pain-free right now, and he can't wait to get back on that field.
Terrific. Now, this was not the first back surgery, and one of the things that was kind of interesting in the book was talking about a decision he had when he was playing college ball at the University of Arizona as to whether to have the surgery or not, and this was a definitely a multi-million dollar decision, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was, I took out a $4 million policy on him, which the book goes into. And that, and if he never played, if he never had the surgery, he could have walked away with $4 million. And it was a big decision. It was a very big decision, you know, and I was just trying to lay it all out for him. And that, and he chose not to. He didn't want to earn his money that way, you know, so I gotta give him kudos. And that, because I don't know, it was a very tough decision. If it was me, I probably would have walked with the $4 million at the time.
Well, you know, you never can tell with a back surgery, and it's dangerous stuff. So, yeah, it was a pretty courageous move by him. Now, you got five sons, Rob, Dan, Chris, Gordy Jr., and Glenn. By the way, why is Glenn called Goose?
I don't know. I had nicknames for them all. We all tried to figure that out, how he got the name Goose. I don't know if it was his mother, you know, he called her mother Goose, and then we just ended up calling him Goose, but no one could figure it out. We can't remember how he got the nickname Goose.
So tell me what the other boys are doing right now.
Gordy, he just quit his career in the minor leagues last year. He was there for 6 years. He never made the bigs, but he's working for me now. And then Danny, he's with the Cleveland Browns. My son Chris, the third son, he's with the San Diego Chargers. And everybody knows Rob is with New England. And Goose is at Kansas State right now. He's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be starting this year at fullback for the Wildcats.
All big boys, huh?
All big. Let's see. Rob's the biggest. He's 6'7". Then Gordy and Danny are 6'6". And then comes my, well, if you call them little guys, they're 6'3". And one's 240 and one's 250.
Not bad. You yourself played football at Syracuse and then went into the USFL, is that right?
Correct.
So these guys got some good genetics coming at them.
There you go. But it's also, it's just not, it's genetics in a way too, but it's, like I always told them, it's hard work. And And I started my program with these guys in eighth grade. As a matter of fact, my first son didn't want nothing to do with it. I'm not a dad that pushed it on him, but I did say, if you want to go this path, you know, I'll lay the path out for you and to follow. But if you're not going to be into it totally and you're not going to have the passion for it, don't waste my time and I won't waste your time. So my first son, he passed on it. And then my second son, he got into the program. And, you know, I started working him out. I'm in the fitness business, so I started working him out and speed specialist. And then all of a sudden, my oldest son wanted a part of it as he saw Danny getting bigger and stronger and everything. And then he came to me and said, Dad, I know what I want to do. I want to get in, you know, sports. I want to play pro baseball. And I said, well, son, it's a little too late now. We're in Buffalo, New York, and it's your sophomore year here. So we really had to go to town with Gordy and really work at it and get him out there, which he did. He came with the University of Jacksonville, became a freshman All-American. But the thing with the whole story, it's a very unique story because I'm not a psycho dad. I'm not over them all the time, and that is what they did. Once it all caught on, they motivated each other. And then, and if one was slacking, one wasn't working out that day, the other four brothers were all over him, you know, telling him, hey, you get your butt up and get over there and let's, you know, work out together in that. So it's a great motivational story between the brothers.
Well, you know,
they pushed each other to get to where they got today.
You know, and that actually is one of the things that I really like so much about it was that very fact, because you have some parents doing the, you know, kind of maybe even living their lives through their kids or pushing them forever. And one of the things I found interesting was you didn't even let the boys lift weights or play football until the eighth grade. Why?
Well, because, well, first of all, they were always too big, and I wasn't going to put my kid on a diet at 11 years old. that was crazy. I never played football until I was a freshman in high school. Now, they all played other sports. They played hockey. They played baseball. And you know, they had fun with it, too. And that's what I, with the football, you know, I didn't really want to push them that way. But when the time came, if they wanted to go that way, that was fine with me. And that's just because, you know, how physical the game is and that. I'd rather have them, seen them all go play baseball in it, but, you know, as it came, they all wanted to go, you know, and play football. And I was surprised because the oldest son, he went on to play baseball, but the other ones just all wanted to play football.
Now, as far as the competition, like you said, it did seem that you gave them the opportunity, but as far as instilling competition, it was the boys doing it to themselves, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were always competing constantly, and I mean, we had some
and at everything, right?
Real good knockdown brawls in the house too, you know, because they were all so competitive. I mean, basically, I always told them, you know, like Vince Lombardi said, "Hey, second place is for losers," you know, and they never wanted to finish second; they always wanted to finish first. I mean, they really took that and they ran with that theory, and they still are like that today. You know, none of them want to be behind the other one; they all want to be number one.
Now, Rob is which? Is he what, the third son? Which is he?
Yeah, Rob. No, Rob is my fourth son.
Fourth son. Okay, so Rob didn't start out being the biggest, so he had to take a few knocks along the way, right?
Oh, boy, did he ever take the knocks. They used to beat on him. As a kid, I don't know. Rob was different. Rob loved pain. He really did. His pain of tolerance is unbelievable. Rob would push everybody to the limit, and that's Rob. And, you know, he's a little more crazier than the other guys in that. But, I mean, they're all so tight, you know, but he probably is my wildest one.
That's funny. Now, what would you have done? By the way, what would you have done if you had had girls?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, you won't have to figure that out. So, if with the boys now, where do you see them going after their football careers?
I got a great business. I can see Rob going into probably Hollywood. He's probably going to be doing a couple movies in the future. He's been offered a couple roles and a couple things already. And Ed and my son Danny, he just was in a movie with Wahlberg. And but I also have a great business in it, and they're all welcome to come to the business. So, you know, my son Gordy, he's already jumped in full go into the business, and he loves it. So, you know, they'll be all very successful. That's one thing people don't realize is all my kids are growing up, we're all on the honor roll. Even Rob, he was on the honor roll. So, and they're very smart, intelligent kids. So I don't have any problem with them, you know, finding other careers after football.
That's Gordy Gronkowski, the father of Rob Gronkowski, talking with Steve Wiseman. The book is called Growing Up Gronk, A Family Story of Raising Champions, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Steve Wiseman returns for our final segment. That's next. I'm Michael Harrison. You're plugged in to A Touch of Grey.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again, customarily, by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's a lawyer, he's a prolific writer, and he's a scam buster. He has a website called scamicide.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And now he's here to tell us about wildfire and flood scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, by now we've all seen the videos of devastating floods in the Midwest, while there are just devastating fires in the far West. And they really have touched the heart of a lot of Americans who, you know, when it's time of need, we generously reach out to help our fellow Americans. But, you know, scam artists, the only criminals whom we refer to as artists, are also there to take advantage of our best instincts. And they are looking to victimize even more the unfortunate victims of these floods and disasters and fires and other natural disasters. There are a couple of major types of scam that all often follow these kinds of events. The first is phony charities that spring up eager to take your money when in fact all they're doing is stealing your money with none of it going to help the victims of the floods or the fires. The second type is an identity theft scam where the scammer turns up posing as a government aid worker or insurance adjuster with the promise of help. And I know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. You should be a little bit skeptical. What happens is they then solicit personal information from the victims, such as social security numbers, which they use to victimize the flood victims a second time, this time as victims of identity theft. Before you ever give money to a charity, make sure it's a legitimate charity. Often phony charities will have names that are deceptively similar to real charities. Here's a good website to try out. Go to the website www.charitynavigator.org. That's .org. And you can check and see not only if the charity is legitimate, but how much of your contribution actually goes to helping the victims and how much goes toward the charity's fundraising, salaries, and administrative expenses. There's some legitimate charities, and I say that questionably, that keep too much of your contributions for their own pockets. Also, when you decide on a charity to which you wish to contribute, you want to make sure that your money is going to go to the charity and not to just some scammer using the name of a legitimate charity. So if you get a call or online to give to a charity, you really can't trust that's where it's going. So make your payment directly to the charity, and that way you know that a larger part of what you're going to give is going to go toward the actual charitable purposes. When you pay your money to a professional solicitor hired by the charity, a portion of that contribution just goes to the professional fundraiser. And remember, whenever you're asked for personal information from someone who maybe represents themselves as an employee of FEMA, state emergency management agencies, insurance companies, or insurance adjusters, you got to make sure that person's legitimate. You never give personal information to people, even if they have the credentials, until you've checked them out. So trust me, you can't trust anybody.
Wildfire and flood scams. Thank you very much, Steve Wiseman. And check out scamaside.com, his website, and check out The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. Steve Wiseman, our senior correspondent. I'm Michael Harrison. Thank you, Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer. And, of course, thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. Thanks to Steve Wiseman. Thanks to Kevin Casey. The entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us here next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.